What is going on, everybody? Casey here, Virginia Game Day, checking in with another episode of the podcast. As always, thank you guys for checking us out, listening, supporting, rating us on Spotify or Apple and all that stuff. So it goes a long way and I appreciate it. Vicky's with me again.
Hey, guys.
Back-to-back weekend podcast here. Last week was a little bit better, of course, because...
Yeah, I thought I was the lucky one.
Right, because they beat Wake Forest. Now we're doing this after North Carolina's loss. There's a lot to go over, so I'm like, yeah, will you sit in with me? Let me bounce some stuff off you.
Oh, yeah.
Going in, we're like, yeah, we're going to be talking about the North Carolina game. But before we got on the show today, the women's basketball team won again against a powerhouse. So that's their third ranked ACC win. I'm not sure if they had any more than that or not, but they beat Florida State on the road. They beat UNC here at JPJ. And then today they go to Louisville and beat them.
Wow.
Yeah. And from what I saw, it's the first time that Louisville has lost to an unranked team since joining the ACC at home.
Really?
At home. Yeah. So Wow. Big time dub for the women's team. And it just shows kind of where the program is going. On the rise. I don't know. Before this string of ranked wins, I don't know when's the last time they've won three games against ranked teams, but you can tell if you've been following this program for the last few years and see where it is now, you can tell it's headed in the right direction. Kimora Johnson, huge game today, hit her free throws when they counted down the stretch.
The boys.
Looking back at the UNC game yesterday, there was some definite opportunities left out there from the free throw line. But yeah, just want to clap it up for the women's team. Shout out Coach Mock. Shout out all the ladies doing big things. And it was nice to see, and we probably should have gone to this, or I should have brought it up to you, but they had a watch party. The men's team had a watch party.
Oh, yeah.
At the Code Building, part of the Cav Futures squad.
That must have been so fun.
It must have been so fun. They had food and all sorts of fun stuff. The odds of having the watch party on this game with the guys there and the fans coming to join them and them actually pulling off this huge upset win is like...
Weren't we just talking about that the other day? Like how fun it is to be a part of watch parties with a UVA crowd.
It's
just different.
We went to... It was the COVID year. And like the year that we got shut down from COVID.
Yeah.
And we had just beaten Duke, where the J-Huff 10 block game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was at JPJ. And then that next weekend, we played Louisville at home when Louisville was actually good.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't living in Charlottesville yet.
No.
We were living up Northern Virginia. And we went to a UVA watch party in D.C.
That was so fun.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
I still have videos on my phone from everyone singing the good old song after the win.
Right. Well, not just that. Like, everyone was talking about, like, buying tickets to Greensboro and all this stuff.
Yes. And we did buy tickets to Greensboro.
And we did, yeah. And
that was the last game they played.
Yeah.
Because they were going to the tournament, mm-hmm. the conference tournament. And
they called it, yeah.
Unbelievable.
They called it 2 days before. They're like, yeah, I guess we're not going to have this tournament. I was like, oh. Bummer.
They were in a rough spot earlier in that season. The 11-5, 3-3 in conference play, and then they just got hot.
Mm-hmm.
They closed the season with 8 wins. Their offense was unbelievably poor, but their defense was the number one defense in the nation.
But anyway, the watch party today made me think back to that watch party. I didn't even realize that it was Louisville.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is pretty cool. All right. So good for the women's team. It's cool that Cav Futures put that event on. Big hire, getting Caroline Darney from Streaking the Lawn and SB Nation, all that fun stuff. She's been a huge part of the UVA kind of media
family
for a long time. All right, let's get to the
big bad.
Let's get to the big thing here. So Virginia lost yesterday at home in front of a huge crowd. So.
It was electric.
It felt like a playoff game.
It did.
Sure, sellout. I'm not even checking on that, but I'm pretty sure it must have been a sellout. The tickets were, the prices were up there.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had tickets, and we're like, let's see what, like, lower level, really good seats would be. And they were like 300 a piece.
Yeah. On Subhub, there weren't even that many seats to go around.
Right. This was a hot ticket in town. Hot ticket
students,
in Charlottesville.
Remember we said we found that like other side of the student section? That entire section was awful.
The upper level student section. That's when you know the game is big.
Yeah. We'll get to that later on, but they had a cute little chant there.
Yeah. So the place was popping. It was like a playoff game, all this stuff. And Virginia comes out and just lays an egg in the first half, shooting wise. 5 of 30 in the first half. 5 of 30, 0 of 6 from 3. They scored 16 points. And luckily, one of those last buckets was that breakaway steal that Reese had. There was a while there where we couldn't hit anything.
There's nothing.
And all the buckets, all 5 field goals we made, were within like 4 feet of the basket.
Right.
And there wasn't like a jump shot or a three or a pull up. No, it was like a dunk by Blake, a dunk by Reese, a couple of layups by Reese.
It only got going again after the free throws. Like I remember staring at the scoreboard and it was like 4 for many, many minutes.
Yeah. And that brings me to one of my headlines of in that first half. Thankfully, coach made the decision to put Gertrude in because Gertrude was like, he hit some free throws. He gave us a ton of energy. He was playing really good defense. He was a microwave, not so much in scoring points, but in giving us the spark that we needed off the bench. And thankfully he got in the first half and kind of was the savior.
That rebound.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got such big hops, and people have been talking to me like, I can't believe they're not playing Gertrude. I can't believe they're not playing Gertrude. And I'm like, well, he's young, and maybe coach thinks he's not ready for the spotlight. But after seeing what I saw yesterday, I'm like, I'm all in on Gertrude.
It's like we don't think he's going to get a shot to play. He gets his shot, so he's going all out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm sure everyone who's in his ear is like, if you get an opportunity, take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah.
It almost reminds me of Calandria. Like yesterday's game, we didn't pull out the W. It wasn't exactly how we wanted it to go. And it reminds me of the football game when Calandria finally got his chance.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, we didn't win that game, but we got something with this guy.
Yeah.
Like
there's
this
spark.
Yeah, this is a real dude. And regardless of how that game went yesterday, Elijah Gertrude can play at the highest level of college basketball.
He's a freshman?
He's a freshman, first year.
Yeah.
UNC is the measuring stick.
Yeah.
UNC is, like, especially the team they played yesterday.
Yeah.
Really good team, really good athletes.
Yeah.
He went toe-to-toe and didn't look like – he looked like he belonged.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are issues, but moving forward, like, if this group – some of the younger guys can stay together.
Mm-hmm.
A lot to be excited about for Virginia basketball. Going back to like the 30,000 foot view of this game before we get in, before I go through the numbers and all that stuff. It was a tough loss.
Yeah.
Because of how our offense looked. We talked about the first half, but just the overall numbers for the game, shooting 27% from the field, which is,
awful.
That's in basketball.
Does that
even
happen?
No, not really. I mean, every once in a while, but like the lowest 3-point percentage in the entire country probably isn't even 27. It's like there's only 2 teams in the entire country that shoot below 27% from 3.
From 3.
And then this is
counting. And ours are field
goals. Our 27% yesterday was counting all the field goals. Just to give you a reference on what 27% is. So yesterday's loss, because of how poorly the offense played, is why it was disappointing. Now, their defense played out of their mind and kept them in the game.
Yeah.
Even when it was 10 throughout that
second
half, it still felt like we were in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally got the game close late. Couldn't capitalize. We'll talk more about that lately. But the loss from a national perspective put us back on the bubble, unfortunately.
Sad.
And the loss, having it be against North Carolina, puts us back in the spotlight because everyone cares about North Carolina. Everyone watches North Carolina. So all the team, all the, you know, big major college basketball brands out there, the light shining on you when you're the 4 o'clock ESPN game against North Carolina. So now Virginia's got the big question mark beside him again. Lenardi, the college basketball bracketology god, has them back on the bubble.
On the bubble.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's kind of four levels to his bubble. There's the last four buys level, which is like the last four teams in that don't have to play a play-in game.
Okay.
And then there's the last four in
who have to
play a play-in game. Then there's the first four that are left out.
Out.
And then the next four that are left out.
Mm.
Okay. So they were good for a while, even with the Virginia Tech loss, which really kills us now. But now after losing yesterday, they're in the last four buys column of the bubble. So they wouldn't have to play a play-in game today based on Joe Lenardi's bracketology here. But they are back on the bubble and in those one of those categories. So that's where Virginia stands. On the bright side, Wake Forest yesterday out here beating Duke.
Oh, yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah, so that helped Virginia out by making that quad two victory a quad one victory. We talked a little bit about that last week. So it made that win better.
Yeah.
And now instead of having two quad one victories, we have
three.
Yes. I posted it on Instagram, but let me just rip through our quadrants real quick.
Okay.
3-4 in quad one.
Yep.
3-3 in quad two.
Okay.
8-1 in quad three. And 6-0 in quad four. Putting them at 48th in the net. And like I said, on the bubble in Lenardi's bracket. We'll see this week where the other brackets land. But on ESPN, they have like the bubble watch. And there's like locks should be in or work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Before yesterday, we were in the should be in category.
Now we're in the
work to do category, which, and I commented this on, I think, Locker Room Access's Instagram account before the UNC game. Okay. I was like, how it's shaping up, this Boston College game coming up is going to be huge.
And?
That's how it's shaping up. And this guy, whoever writes this thing, notes it. This is the work to do little blurb on ESPN's Bubble Watch. In the past four games, Virginia has scored 197 points in 239 possessions. That nets out to 0.82 points per possession. Remarkably, one of those games was a win. That's the Wake Forest game. With an offense that has skidded to a halt and losses in three of the past four outings, the Cavaliers have earned a place here in the work to do category. The 20-8 Hoos claim a road win at Clemson and a neutral floor victory over Florida. They didn't note the Wake Forest win, but that's also a quad one now. But UVA was already projected as a 10 seed prior to losing at home by 10 to North Carolina. There's not much, if any, cushion left for Virginia as it pays what is now a quite important visit to Boston College.
Yeah.
So this is what they got left, these Hoos. The Hoos have at Boston College, home versus Georgia Tech. Those two games are absolutely flat out must wins. And then they have at Duke, which would be great if we win, but I don't think they're going to punish us a ton if we lose it.
Yeah.
If we win at Wouldn't Boston it be, College.
Like, phenomenal if we win.
It would be phenomenal if we win. Okay. It would pretty much punch our ticket.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to have that Duke.
It's like controlling our own destiny.
No, for sure. And then we're going to get games in the ACC tournament.
That's at Duke. Yikes.
Somebody asked earlier this season, it was before the Virginia Tech game, and they put up the poll. I told you about this poll.
Yeah.
It was, if you could only have one.
Yeah.
And it had at Virginia Tech, home versus UNC, or at Duke.
Yeah.
If you could only have one, which one would you want? And I don't know how the poll ended, but I know what the hell I wanted.
At Duke. Yeah.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm getting my wish because we've lost at Virginia Tech and lost to home versus North Carolina. But needless to say, this Boston College game coming up is
a biggie.
BC is...
What quad is Boston College?
It's going to be a quad two.
Okay.
So we need, you know, we want to quad ones and quad twos are the big ones.
Okay.
Those are the ones that they look at from the net perspective. And when when the resumes are being looked at and all that jazz.
Okay.
Boy.
Are you nervous?
It's a weird time. I think it's a 9 o'clock game. What? Yeah, it's a 9 o'clock game on a Wednesday. So interesting at Boston College. And let's not forget, last year we lost at Boston College.
So we play Boston College on Wednesday.
Yep.
And then we play
Duke on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then we get a week off and play our home finale at home against Georgia Tech.
Got it. Okay.
We're now 11-6 in conference. And it's looking like it's probably unlikely that we'll win the ACC regular season title, but
you never know.
You never know. I mean, UNC is 13-3.
Yeah.
So they can't win anymore, basically. But that's neither here nor there. What we want to have happen is get a top four seed at tournament and have that double bye and set us up for a ACC tournament title run, baby. Last year we got close.
Yep.
In Greensboro, we went to it.
Oh, so close.
This year it's going to be in DC.
Oh.
Yep. Those top four seeds get double byes and, you know, win three games, you win the championship. And you punch your ticket regardless.
Yeah. Yeah.
No bubbles. Nothing.
Well, of course you remember. But the Elite Eight game against Purdue.
Yeah.
And we went and it was all Purdue fans. Yeah. And then we did a little research and we're like, oh, it's because it's a 2-hour drive.
Yep.
DC is a 2-hour drive from Charlottesville. So
yeah. Yo, all you who's that
pack the house.
All you who's that can get out there, go to the ACC tournament.
Oh, that's exciting.
So they play on Thursday.
Yeah.
How I'm thinking is if they win on Thursday, we'll go up for the weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we win that,
you're guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that involves also going through
Duke or North Carolina.
Yeah, one of the two.
Right.
I'll take a rematch. I'll take a UNC rematch.
Yo, we're going to talk about UNC, the game, in a second. We might as well start it right now.
Do it.
If we score the basketball, we win the game.
I mean, I think that's the case with a lot of games.
But like I was saying, 5 of 30.
Right.
3 of 25, whatever we were to start. It's unheard of. So if we can actually score the basketball, we will.
That's how
we could definitely beat them.
That's how I felt the entire first half. I was like, we should be down by 30.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
Oh, yeah.
And credit to UNC because their defense is really good too.
Right.
UNC is right now 8th in defensive efficiency, which may even be better than Virginia. Virginia's 9th. Mm. So I'm credit to UNC for making us shoot so poorly to some degree and not getting the looks that we wanted and shutting IMAC down.
Yeah.
When IMAC is out of the offense,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty scary. Like the offense really looks challenged. So what happens a lot is when the defenses are really good, you have to rely on Isaac or Reese to make plays because the defenses are so elite and those are our elite scorers.
Yeah.
When neither of those guys are putting up the points that they're used to, you have a really tough time scoring. And that's what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Our two guys that we can count on for offense were inefficient. Combined Isaac and Reese yesterday, 5 of 17 from 2 and 1 of 6 from 3.
Yeah.
So like 20% combined from our two leading scorers.
Tough. I was very nervously but patiently waiting for someone to get hot.
Yeah, no one did. The only guy who was really efficient was Jordan Miner. But when, even with how the game went in the first half, and even with their offense being awful, we had a chance to win the game.
Yes.
Right? So Virginia finally cuts the lead to 5 late in the game. It's 47-42. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where the crowd is insane. The place is going nuts. And we get a stop. And then we get an offensive possession. Jordan Miner gets fouled after picking up an offensive rebound. And now he goes to the line. If he makes these shots, we're down.
3-point game.
We're 3-point game. One possession game with, you know, it can go either way. Unfortunately, Miner misses the front end of the 1-1. And we end up losing by 10. The two things that kind of have been our big issues, rebounding, free throw shooting, in the last minute, it reared its ugly head and may have cost us the game. It was the last 2 minutes. It was 1:49 left. Miner missed that free throw.
Yeah. But then down, like, even after that, There was missed rebounding.
Yeah, so they come back, score a layup. Oh, Gertrude makes a jumper, gets it back to five.
Yeah.
So now it's five down five with a minute left. They miss a free throw, and they get the offensive rebound.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. The rebounding, the free throw shooting, they got a bunch of rebounds in the last minute. Like,
yeah,
crunch time.
Yeah.
You know, off of missed free throws, off of missed looks, and we couldn't do anything about it. We, when the chips were down, we didn't make plays. We didn't execute.
Yeah.
It's tough. What were some things that stood out to you yesterday?
Should I say the refs?
Yeah, the refs sucked yesterday. I'm not going to put it all on the refs, of course, because we shot 27% from the field. But the refs did have some questionable calls at times.
That impacted the game.
Absolutely. And what were the fans doing?
Refs, you suck. I don't think I've ever heard that cheered that loudly. As in, it caught...
The whole caught on.
With the whole... I've heard it from the student section before, but, like, it caught on. And they're, like, you know, older, very nice women and gentlemen in our section that we're chanting it to.
How about the bullshit?
Bullshit. I've heard that before, ironically.
Yeah, there were some crummy calls for sure. I'm looking back and there was one out of bounds play where I remember that they said it went off on Blake, but they showed the replay and it clearly didn't.
Well, one of the very first ones I remember was there was a hook and they showed Laurel as in Laurel Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like screaming it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then they showed the replay play and everyone was like, oh.
We've seen the Bennett family get pretty riled up at,
yeah,
at for some games, man. Yeah. Watching them close. They get after it, bro.
Yeah.
And there was the iMac flop play.
Oh my goodness. So,
you saw that. You were like, you told me about it it was happening.
I saw it live. And I saw them basically like, I thought they were hugging each other. Like, that's how much I thought that the UNC guy was basically pulling him into him. I'm like, are they whispering to each other? Are they hugging each other? Like, what is going on? Why are they so close? And then the guy just flops.
So yeah, he pulled Isaac into him real close.
Yeah.
And that's when they were whispering sweet nothings into their ear.
It's what it looked like.
And then
the next thing I know,
all of a sudden the dude, he pulls him real close and then flops. And then they call.
And then the whistle.
They call it on iMac. Yo, so first of all.
Lame.
You say lame, but I say great heads up, witty veteran play by UNC to do that. It sucks for Virginia, but that's sometimes it's like a old school trick that he pulled and it worked and it got UNC a possession that mattered because it stopped a run. I feel like we were getting some momentum and then that happened.
That happened a bunch.
It was so many times where it was like, all right, we got it to eight. And then, oh, we can't stretch the lead.
Yeah,
we can't cut exactly. It to the lead anymore.
Yeah.
We got it to five. Oh, we can't hit the free throw. Oh, we got it to five again. We don't get the offensive rebound. So many times things happen like that. And then Beek, we had it down to eight and Beekman just lost the ball randomly. Remember that?
Yes.
That sucked. He was
just getting started with the play. And then all of a sudden the guy's just like, oh, I'll take that.
Yeah, it was like, he was like, putting it under his arm to like, call a play out or something, or like popped up. It was weird. I don't know. At the time, I was like, either he got fouled and it wasn't called, or it was just like he fumbled it by accident out of his hands. So I'm not sure what happened.
It was like an oopsie dropsie.
Yeah. There were a lot of chances within the early part of the second half that we're talking about now. But then finally, Isaac hits that three. Isaac makes two free throws. He goes on a little 5-point run there, and that's what got it to five. Jordan missed the free throws.
Was it just me? Or did you think we were going to win at that point?
I did. I did. So Isaac hits that three. They call it out of the timeout.
Yeah.
Great play for Isaac. They set him up. You said you know that play.
I don't know the name of it.
It's either slap or L or something.
I always call it L. But I'm like, every time I look at him, I'm like, you're going to drop L. But I know what that play is. Yeah. It's like,
right.
Boopity, 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 inbound, pass it once. And
yeah. And then iMac got fouled after that play.
Yep.
So he gets that 5-point run. Bacot misses a layup. It was a block by Ryan Dunn. So now you know the place is going nuts, right?
Yeah.
Isaac misses the jumper. Jordan Minor gets the offensive rebound and then gets to the line, missed the free throw that we already talked about. But that's the sequence that
happened.
That's
what led to
that. Yeah.
That was where my.
So we had a chance.
I was so hopeful.
Yeah. And it, like, I don't know if saying that the score doesn't reflect how close it was, because it was 5 with a minute left with us on the free throw line. But even when it was 10, it felt like it was a close game. It felt like we were just right there.
Yeah.
It felt like we were right there.
But if anyone, like, just straight up read the stat sheet of the game backwards, it would be like, what? What was this game?
Yeah, it got closest when it was on the line, when the game was on the line. But at the end of the day, didn't shoot the ball well. Poor execution down the stretch when we needed it most. When we needed the guys to make plays, they didn't make plays. And it's a loss. North Carolina's a good team. What are you going to do? It stinks. But the offense needs to play better.
Yeah, they need to find some kind of rhythm.
And the role guys need to step up. All right. So let's go through some of the numbers. Starting 5 yesterday, Jordan Minor, Reese Beekman, Andrew Rohde. There's always a Rohde segment here. Isaac McNeely and Ryan Dunn.
Yeah.
Jordan Minor played his ass off against Armando Bacot. I guarantee Armando Bacot is thinking, that dude played me better than anyone in the conference.
Really?
Minor was killing him.
Yeah.
Minor was killing him. Minor played 25 minutes. Freaking love that guy, man. 10 boards, 6 of them on the offensive end, 12 points, 2 of 3 from the free throw line. Of course, that one miss is the big one.
Yeah.
That front end of the 1-on-1. But goddamn, his emergence has just been, it's the reason why we're even in this position now. Yeah. Because the season could have gone way downhill had Minor not stepped up and given us a backbone halfway through the season. And shout out to Minor also. We're going to his hometown on Wednesday. He's a Boston guy.
Yeah.
He played at Merrimack.
Do you remember what he said in the post game?
Tell me what he said.
He said, so they were talking about that. And like, when the schedule comes out, this must be like that game that you're most excited for. And he said, yeah, of course. But I love him because he said that he wants this game for the team, for UVA, more than he could ever want it for himself, even though there's a personal connection. I'm like,
he's such a nice guy.
What a nice little team player he is.
Shout out to Jordan Minor.
He said he had to wine and dine some of the boys to try to get their family tickets because he's got a big crowd that wants to come see him.
And Jay Money, shout out. They did like a little social media thing and everyone said he has some of the best fashion on the team. So Reese Beekman played 37 minutes, damn near the whole game. That was the most of anyone on the team. 4 of 14 from the field. Only shot 1-3, missed it. Hit both of his free throws. 10 points, 7 boards, 5 assists. That 2 turnovers, one being that crazy play we talked about where it just like ended up giving it to them. 1 steal.
That steal was nice.
Yeah, that was a huge steal. That was a big, like, got it to 10. Just like a
crowd booster.
Yeah, because we're down 12 at that point. Gets us to 10. We're like, okay, we are within striking distance.
Yeah.
Because we were when it got down 10 against Virginia Tech, I knew it was over.
Right.
But because we're home, because of how our defense is playing today, you feel like 10 is okay. Minus 10 on the plus minus. But even with that, Reese made some big buckets. He'd love to see that 4 for 14 be like 7 of 14. But hey, he was off a little bit. Andrew Rohde, 1 of 4. All 4 of his field goal attempts were from 3. Didn't have a stat anywhere else across the board.
Wow.
No rebounds, no assists, 1 turnover, no steals, no blocks, nothing. Again, you know, I always talk about how gun shy he is, and he's just passing up shots, not looking to force the issue. Thankfully, he hit that 1-3, but 1 of 4 isn't super efficient, especially based on his other, how he's shot the rest of the year. So I don't know if he's going to heat up or not. You know, I've been waiting for him to heat up and heat up and heat up and heat up, but he's shooting 27% from 3 this year. He's shooting 33% from 2. I'd love to see him get hot, but I feel like his minutes might be cut down a little bit based on how well Gertrude played.
Mm.
And they put Gertrude at the 3 yesterday. And I don't know. I mean, I want Andrew Roddy to succeed because he's still young. He's going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
But he's just got to step it up a level.
For sure.
Isaac McNeely, 35 minutes. Didn't shoot the ball well yesterday, but did have that big three late we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
2 of 9 from the field, 1 of 5 from the three, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. 7 points, 2 turnovers, no assists, 1 rebound, minus 12 on plus minus. Ryan Dunn, pretty quiet game from him yesterday offensively. I feel like he's had some quiet games in a row here. Let me look back.
Points wise?
Yeah. Within his last 3 games, he scored 10 points combined.
Wow.
Had 3 blocks, played good defense. Was a -3 on the plus minus. He did shoot a 3, he missed it, but
he's not our 3-point
right, player. Right. You love to see everyone just raise their game a little bit, you know.
It needed to happen, right? Like UNC's come into our house, like
right.
Everybody's level of play need to be at least one level higher than what their normal.
Yeah, you can't have everyone playing below their
yeah
level. And I was talking with one of the dudes from another Virginia podcast, and I was like, everyone needs to reach their full potential.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday it was like, at least offensively, everyone was playing below their potential. Not everyone, but most people were playing most below people. Their potential.
Yeah.
That rounds out the starting group. Off the bench, Jake Groves, 19 minutes, didn't score. And this was a dude who was like Jordan Miner, kind of saved us at times during our big 8-game winning streak. Groves had 4 straight games of double figures between Notre Dame and Florida State. All 4 wins, by the way. And since then, he scored 9 points in his last 4 games. Wow. Three being losses. So got to get some of these role guys going. Groves finished with no points, 2 rebounds, and 1 block. Groves, they went to him a few times. Like, or he had the stones to shoot it, at least. He was pressing the issue in the first half. Wasn't able to get some shots in, but you know, we had good looks every now and again. We just weren't making them. You know, Groves' 2 misses in the first half were from like 8 feet.
Right.
Dante Harris, 9 minutes. He hit 1 jumper, 1 of 4, 4 rebounds. He had some good rebounds, 2 steals. Him and Gertrude both played really good defense. Dante was a 0 on plus minus. He was in there for some good runs for UVA. I think he was. My thoughts of Dante yesterday were kind of
even.
Kind of even, yeah. I was like, I'm happy he hit that jumper, but he didn't jump off the screen or anything.
Yeah.
Tane played 2 minutes just early in the first half to kind of give somebody a blow. And then Elijah Gertrude got his first big minutes in a long time. 19 minutes. He scored 6 points. His field goal percentage isn't great. It was 1 of 7. But if you look at the stat sheet, it tells you one thing. You look at the game, it tells you another thing. He looked like he belonged out there. He gave us a spark that we needed. Without Elijah Gertrude in the first half, I don't know if we hit double digits. He scored 4 free throws. He made
four. He was pressing the issue, so he was driving fouls.
Yeah, he was pressing the issue. He gave us the athleticism to match some of North Carolina's athleticism.
Mm-hmm. And they were probably like, who the hell is this kid coming off the bench?
Also, like,
we were
like
do we have to guard this guy? Like,
we didn't game plan for this dude.
Yeah.
At all.
Like, who is this guy? What's he going to do?
But yeah, Gertrude, man, he played 19 minutes. He hadn't played big minutes since, like, in a meaningful game since probably like Northeastern, like, or Syracuse. He had a lot of big minutes, like when Dante was still recovering from his ankle injury. This is, needless to say, his first big minute game with Dante being back. Mm-hmm. For sure. And I feel like, I don't know what they're going to do. I'm just, from what I saw yesterday, there could be a world where some of Rhodey's minutes go to Gertrude, or someone's minutes go to Gertrude, because I want to see more from him.
Yeah.
And maybe Boston College isn't the place because it's on the road, but at home, at least, he definitely, when we need a spark, he can be a guy that does that. And I hope he sticks around.
Yeah.
I really hope he sticks around, because we're going to have a solid, solid nucleus of guys who can play at this level. And, you know, dude's coming in, transfers coming, you never know.
It'd be nice.
Yeah. Let's not forget, this team is young.
So young.
And the expectations weren't through the roof start the season, you know? Right. We kind of played ourselves into super high hopes by having a big wins against Florida and big wins against A&M and big winning streaks and all that stuff. Right. So
we're like, we can do this.
Yeah. So
yeah,
it's good that all these guys are getting minutes. It's good that we're competitive and in the tournament conversation, but there's a strong nucleus of guys who can grow together.
Right.
All right. That rounds it up for the numbers. We talked about how poorly we shot. We only led for 13 seconds in this game.
Really?
Yep. It was probably like 2-0 or something.
Yeah. Bummer.
But next up is going to be Boston College, a huge opportunity for Virginia to get themselves on the good side of people's emotions and on the good side of the college basketball world, because everyone's thinking we're shit now after losing by freaking 50 to Virginia Tech and losing at home to North Carolina.
Right.
And shooting 27%.
Damn.
But yeah, we'll be all right. We're gonna be okay down the stretch, and then worst case scenario, we always have the ACC tournament.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Believe in the squad. Tony's gonna right the ship. And you know, if you shoot 27% one game, that next game you should shoot like 60%.
Even it out. Yeah, law of averages.
Yeah. One note on the court storming stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Filipowski got injured after the Wake Forest fans ran out on the court after Duke lost to them. And it's like started this big conversation about court storming.
Right.
It makes sense that the opposing team shouldn't be in the kind of wrath of 500 opposition fans, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you got to protect the players.
So like maybe have security out there and let the players get like 10 seconds to get off the court and then storm it all you want and go crazy.
Yeah.
But court storming's got crazy for another reason. Like there are certain schools like Syracuse. It really bothered me when they stormed the court after beating North Carolina, because Syracuse won a national title. Like they should be on the same, fans should be on the same level.
Yeah.
North Carolina.
Well, you have an idea of like what is worth storming the court.
Right. Like Virginia shouldn't storm the court against anyone.
Yeah.
The teams in the ACC that shouldn't storm the court are like Duke shouldn't storm the court if they beat someone, or UNC shouldn't storm the court, or Louisville, Syracuse.
Because you've been a reputable name before. Right.
It's not like you should be doing. Have you ever heard someone score a touchdown and be like, act like you've been there before?
Yes.
It's kind of like that kind of conversation. But we'll see what they do. Protect the players. We don't want to see anyone get hurt, even though it did look like Filipowski may have initiated the contact. Who knows? But protect the players. We don't want to see that happen. Thank you guys for checking us out. We will be back after a Boston College victory, I hope.
Fingers crossed.
At Virginia Game Day on Instagram, Virginia Game Day Podcast on all the major platforms. You guys can find us. Keep doing your thing with the subscription and the rating and the review, all that stuff. It helps us out, and it helps us reach more Virginia Wahoo maniacs. So appreciate it, guys. Go Hoos. Talk to you later.
Bye.